I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed the valleys fair, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man.
Sure,
I've been
everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on a sec.
Hold on a sec.
Wait a minute.
God damn it, what is this? Wait.
Wait, don't tell me. Wait.
No, that's a...
you just turn on the microphone.
I already did. The mic is on.
The
mic is on. That should be our outtake podcast.
Oh, goodness.
Well, this is a special quickie barnstorming.
Just a quickie.
Kind of a barn summer shower. And we're here. We have two really...
We opened up the paper this morning mm-hmm. to a really stunningly diverse
yes.
set of...
A juxtaposition, one might say.
Of opinion pieces in the Daily Ad. And this is Tuesday, August 13th.
That's right. It's 1 week until the special election in PA 85.
1 week.
This is Jordy, by the way.
And this is Taylor. And this is Barnstorming. As we stated, this is just a quickie.
This is the summer squall. Is a squall a short shower? This is Barnstorming squall. Summer Squall Edition.
Yes. And in addition, we're doing a wait stop.
Hold on a sec.
We're bringing
this back. It's been a while.
Yeah. Where we used to read letters to the editor and then say...
Hold on a sec.
And then we sort of...
Riff.
Yeah, riff on it a little bit.
Shamelessly borrowing from one of our favorite podcasts.
We won't say which.
We won't say which. But we can't even remember what they call it.
Hold on a sec.
No, that's what ours is.
Wait, stop.
Wait, stop.
Wait, don't tell me.
No.
Not that.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway. So we're going to read Benita Coleman-Solomon's first...
Mm-hmm.
Takes a more serious tone, as you will see. It's called Judging My Family. Air quote. I am very concerned about Mr. David Rowe's candidacy for the 85th District as our state representative. Though Mr. Rowe states that he will represent all of us in his district, how can I trust someone who has already misjudged me and my family? Mr. Rowe's statements that the opioid crisis has its root in, quote, the erosion of the family unit, end quote, that parents need to communicate better, spend time with their children, attend church, are insulting and misleading in regards to why people become addicted to opioids.
Hold on a sec. Can we riff on this a little bit?
Yeah.
I want to point out that, to me, those are all, like, value choices that some people will make about, you know, what is their family unit, you know, how they spend their time, where whether or not they go to church. And some of those probably do make a difference overall in people's well-being. Like, I'm a big believer in, you know, people should be embedded in different kinds of caring communities, whether those are faith-based or local.
Certainly.
But that's not government policy. You know, the government can't pass a law saying, you go be in a good family unit.
Yeah, or you have to attend church at least.
Or you're...
Two times a week.
We did that in Massachusetts before we overthrew that theocracy in the colonial times. All right, keep going.
Yes. Our family is intact, has dinner together, attends our synagogue, communicates regularly about issues, and yet we have been deeply affected by the opioid crisis. We are one of the lucky families in that our child has survived his overdoses. His addiction stemmed from having access to opioids prescribed to help chronic pain due to several chronic health issues stemming from age 9.
From what?
Chronic health issues.
Oh, from age 9. Sorry.
I thought that was
a disease, right? Sorry.
No. Like Agent Orange.
But I think that's a good point, is that there's still this model, and I feel like you see this in Dave Rowe's comments, which sees drug addiction as a sin. And so it imagines that you made a choice to make a bad choice, and therefore...
you should be punished.
And you should be punished.
Yeah.
And the reality is we know...
You could just stop if you wanted to.
That's right. And the reality of lots of people who face substance abuse is that it's a problem that emerged out of legitimate medical interventions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In his 20s, mental health issues began to crop up, and being away from home and responsible for his own medication, a perfect storm was brewing. Ultimately, he ended in lockdown unit 3 times, and finally, after 3 years of searching and finding an amazing program, he's finally received mental health diagnosis, become sober, and is working at learning to live independently at the age of 25. just have to say, really happy that that's the case.
Of course, yeah.
We have been lucky to have access to good health care and advocates that helped us get the mental health care needed for our son. The toll that drug addiction takes on my on a family is not just financial, it is mentally draining. As I have said, we are one of the lucky families. I hope that Mr. Rowe never has to face what our family has faced, never has to plan in his mind a funeral for his child. It is absurd to blame families. Families, whether comprised of one parent, two parents, blended, religious, non-religious, are all doing the best they can and are not the cause of addictions. And, wait, pause. I think that the thing that I really like that Benita does here is sort of attacks this view that it is the nuclear family which is best capable of addressing these things. That you could have an amazing one parent or a multi-religious, you know,
family. Mm-hmm.
Or a non-religious family and still be able to really adequately care for your child. Resuming. Mr. Rowe, your potential future constituents who have been affected by this crisis do not need your judgment. We need you to understand the true reason for addictions. We need a candidate that is willing to serve all in her district, who looks at the problems which face us and instead of judging and blaming, will look to a solution for all people in the 85th District. I will be supporting Dr. Jen Raker Kay on August 20th. That's the end.
Yeah. Did you know Oliver? Do you know him?
Yeah, I know Oliver. I knew Oliver.
Not like a close friend.
Never super tight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one of the things is, I learned this recently, and Benita and her husband Tom, as they've been through this, have always been very involved in the community. She ran for school board. And I think, her stepping forward takes huge amounts of courage, right?
Absolutely.
Because all kinds of people now will feel like they have, probably will feel like they have the right to judge her. And I just think, yet again, it's one of these times where it's like one of these moments where, there's no Superman coming to save us. We have all the superwomen we need right around us.
Yeah, and I also just have to say that Benita speaks for many, many families. She stands with them, and she's speaking with them.
Right.
When she has shared her story.
Right.
I was just talking with somebody, who's had this issue, and I mean, Benita's story represents just a fraction of what has occurred, the damage that has occurred in this region.
Right. Well. Do we need a mouth, like a palate cleanser, like a brain cleanser before we shift to our next letter, which we plan to mercilessly shred?
Yeah. Do you have a good joke?
No. I don't have a good joke.
I heard a joke the other day.
Oh, great.
That was, it's a Buddhist joke.
Mm-hmm.
And one monk was walking down the side of a river. And another monk was walking down the other side of the river, and they were walking downstream together, one on each side. And one monk shouts to the other monk, "Brother, how do I get to the other side of the river?" And the other monk shouts back, "Brother, you are on the other side of the river." Isn't that great?
Yes. I think I heard it a long time ago.
I think it might originally be a blonde joke, but
it works better as a Buddhist joke. I guess I do want to say as preamble to this that, in different roles I'm in, people have different expectations about what does it mean to engage in civic dialogue or civic discourse. And, as somebody who's run for office, and we're about to talk about somebody who's running for office, David Rowe, I think that it's totally fair game to be critical and even to use humor to talk about, statements and actions and, I don't know. I don't think it's incompatible to want in some spaces, like at public meetings or when we're interacting with each other, a certain amount of you know, civility, but that doesn't mean that we have to check our critical minds and our sharp tongues at the, you know, at the door for all times and all spaces. So I'm trying to say I'm a big believer in different spaces. So in this space, you know, we're opinionated and we're commentators.
Yes.
All right. Is this in any context?
So this is just above Benita's.
Yeah.
Letter to the editor. My turn, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And this is by Supervisor Chargret.
Right.
Who, let's be clear, I have a lot of respect for.
Mm-hmm.
So the title is Proud to Support Roe.
And just, I mean, if there's anyone who doesn't understand, Dave Roe is running in just a week, August 20th, for the House District 85 in Pennsylvania, which is our district, against Jennifer Rigger Kay, who, you know, no surprise, full disclosure, we support as volunteers and is also a friend.
Dave Groh?
No, Jen.
Jen? Yeah, of course.
Dave is very pleasant when you chat with him, you know, on the street. Anyway.
I wonder how he'll be at the debate tonight.
Oh, he won't be there.
He has other commitments.
He has other commitments.
Something more important than the
debate. Yeah, he's campaigning full time, so he doesn't have time to go to the candidate event night, which is a great opportunity to interact with voters
and the other candidates. In an unscripted environment. So the letter to the editor is Proud to Support Roe. On August 20th, the 85th District will hold a special election to fill the recently vacated state representative seat in Harrisburg. During this campaign cycle, I have seen and heard quite a bit of editorialized statements that misrepresent or take out of context a candidate's words or action. In parentheses, in this case, David Roe, the Republican candidate.
I don't actually think she cites or quotes any actual misstatements or out of context quotes, right? This is in the same category as when Trump says, people are saying, or some people say, which really irks me just in general.
You know, I think David Roe mischaracterized a lot of statements.
Yeah.
I think she's good. She's right to point it out.
Yeah. Proceed.
In my capacity as township supervisor, this behavior is what frustrates me about our local politics, and unfortunately, it is no different at the state or national level. Bottom line, don't believe everything you read. Good disclaimer.
Hold on a sec. Yes, you should not believe everything you read.
Yes, that is...
Starting with a lot of tweets from a certain president right now.
Yeah, or just anything in general.
Yeah.
Good critical thinking skills are necessary to interact with the world.
Yes.
David Roe is proud to be an American and believes...
Wait, hold on a sec. That right there, I feel like all of her statements, because they're positive statements about him, are implicitly contrast statements to Jen Rigger Kay.
Yeah.
And so you can talk about how it's too bad that things at the local level are like the national, but has anyone said that he's not proud, not American, or has Jen Rigger Kay in any way positioned herself that way? No.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
David Roe is proud to be an American and believes in our nation's founding principles.
Yeah, great.
Great.
Don't we all?
At the start of our township meetings, as he stands next to me, his resounding voice recites the Pledge of Allegiance, and it always makes me a bit prouder to be an American when I heard his words resonate above all others in the room. You know,
hold on a sec.
You gotta listen to how this, loud he says the
I mean,
Pledge of Allegiance.
I mean, she wants to write a piece. Maybe this is a long con. Maybe she's actually undermining David Roe. Because, like, this is her chance. First positive statement about him. And the best she can come up with is he's really fucking loud when he says the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about damning with faint praise.
Yeah.
He'd be great in Harrisburg because he knows all the words of the Pledge of Allegiance. And you can hear him.
He says
it loud.
He says it so loud.
And I just want to say, like, I'm proud to be in America when I say the Pledge of Allegiance in Borough Council. And I'm standing next to Gary, Gary Frederick, who disagrees with me on many issues and is a veteran. But, you know, we get along and, proud to be an American can mean all kinds of things. You know, to me, proud to be an American is also proud to be part of the process of really acknowledging our horrible, you know, racist and sexist history,
in
what
fact,
we did to Native Americans.
In fact, I don't think your pride of being an American is actually pride unless you have actually sat with and squared
mm-hmm.
the fundamental sins,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
First true democracy
right.
with all of the horrible
right.
shit that we've done.
Right.
Like, you have to sit with both of these things.
Right.
and all of the incredible advances in science that we've pioneered.
Right.
You know, unless you're sitting with that.
Right.
It's false.
Yeah. It's not. You know, it's a puppy. It's a puppy love. It's a love without questioning versus a sort of, you know, a deep reflection
of squaring bad things and excellent things.
And in like any human thing, it's full of contradictions and problems. And so anyway, keep going.
We need to return to the patriotism and work ethic that helped define this country.
Hold on a sec.
Once again, it's sort of like the insinuation that, as opposed to Jen, you know, David will be a return to patriotism and work ethic. And, you know, like, let's just, you know, Dr. Jen worked her way, like, put herself through college and med school. She's a first-generation college graduate.
Right.
You know, David Rowe has a franchise gem here.
Yeah.
You know,
It's, that's fine, but it's
talking about work ethic here.
Yeah, it's fine, but it's, you know, it is kind of just add water to your business.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing that I think, I mean, I at least immediately thought of, and I don't think that Char is a racist, but I think that if you're talking about the work ethic that built this country and don't acknowledge a tremendous amount of the ways in which this country was built was with slave labor. You know, the work ethic of which this country was built, to me, is like a dog whistle.
I mean, I just think in general, that's a thing that's thrown around to try and imply that there are some people who are, you know, more deserving than others who aren't. You know, the problem with poor people is they don't have a work ethic. The problem with, you know, black people or Hispanic people is they don't have a work ethic. I mean, it just doesn't bear out.
You know, why are you bellyaching for raising the minimum wage when you just need to work harder?
Yeah. And again, we don't know what was in her heart of hearts here, but it's that language in the context of all the other things she's saying about Dave, which is really just a recitation of sort of kind of unthoughtful, you know, Republican talking points. Anyway, go ahead.
So as a small business owner himself, David knows firsthand how difficult running a small business or farm can be. David believes in managed growth. In our township, he carefully considers general discussions or proposed ordinance changes that will have an economic impact.
Hold on a sec. This carefully considered. I have been on the other side from him and his colleagues, East Buffalo Township, and they, in my experience, do not carefully consider the impact of decisions they make. They quite recklessly have been going around destroying different mechanisms for regional cooperation around recreation and police. You know, you can listen and be like, well, you have your own perspective. I do, but it's not like we had a disagreement with them and we started it. You know, they like drew some lines in the sand, and ever since then, starting 2 and 3 years ago, and honestly before my time and David times in local government, but he's been quite happy to stick to those lines in the sand. All right, keep going.
He strives to keep our community self-sustaining while maintaining the charm and small town feel that epitomizes this region.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah.
I want to say bad things about the people who live in East Buffalo. A lot of them are my friends. They're good people. But if you were to, like, you know this area, if you lift Lewisburg out, you just have East Buffalo, you have some strip malls, some suburban development, and some farms. And none of it is a small town.
Yeah.
So in East Buffalo,
45 doesn't quite hit the mark.
It's nobody's idea of small town charm. And it's that kind of, like, it's that kind of lack of awareness that's just, it's really frustrating.
He will mirror the same concern to all areas of the 85th District. While some view the state representative position as part-time, David is committed to making this a full-time job. To that end, he will step down from his own business responsibilities.
Hold on a sec. Yeah, I don't know what I was going to say. I mean, actually, we said earlier we like Jen. I mean, I think that, you know, this is, you know, Char's bringing up a decent point, which, you know, I understand why Jen has said that it's important to her to continue to be a doctor. But, you know, it's probably one of her more vulnerable points in this campaign.
Yeah, but I mean, I meant, you know, my dad's a doctor, and I'm pretty sympathetic to her wanting to stay on at least part-time as a doctor.
Well, she's been very clear.
Because a doctor's... certificates and all right. that, it's use it or lose it.
Right.
You know, and,
I mean, Dave can go back to running CrossFit very easily
in a
year or two. She can't easily go back to being a practicing physician.
My dad has seen people for on and off, like once a month or something like that, for like 20 years or something like that.
Yeah. What did you say the other day? You use it or you lose it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I just said that.
Did you actually say that first?
I did just say that.
Yeah, I forgot because I was trying to remember what you said to me the other day.
Yeah, no. You know, you do want some consistency in a doctor. And I actually do think that it's quite helpful
right.
that she's like in the community, you
yeah.
know, like working, seeing people,
right.
doing the people's work
right.
as a doctor.
Okay.
So during David's time serving as East Buffalo Township Supervisor, I valued his thorough and fiscally sound assessment of township business. We'll just leave that one. He was part of the team that passed for the fourth year in a row a budget without a tax increase. Jordy, how many years has David Rowe been a township supervisor?
I think it's less than two total, right? Since
so,
he, because he actually has never won an election.
Golly gee.
He got appointed. Golly gee, he was part of the team. This is like
how could he be a part of the team that passed the budget for 4 years?
I mean,
be a township.
I mean, that's like saying
less than 2 years.
Right. That's like saying I can't remember who the this is really embarrassing. Who won the NFL Super Bowl last year or whatever?
The Patriots or something.
The Patriots. But go back a couple of years. The Patriots won a couple of years ago, and now you're a rookie on the team. It's like saying, like, I'm part of the team that won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. No, you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's the same team, but you had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is an overreach.
I think it's a little bit of a stretch.
And I think that probably reflects, you know, Char's trying to help her ally seem, you know, she's trying to help him be
yeah.
well seen in the community. That's totally legit. So, you know, she's really reaching here.
Yeah,
and furthermore, I just want to say it's easy to not raise taxes when you're in local government when you have more development and property values going up. You know, I think the real measure people should look at is what is the value they're creating for all the residents with the tax revenues they generate? That's
yeah.
the question.
Yeah. How much are property values going up?
Well, that's a relevant question, but the most important question is, no matter what your tax rate is, are you delivering to people
that what they're paying, you know?
Right. The value in services and other things you're doing in government that make it worthwhile.
This scrutiny of spending and careful handling of taxpayers' money is exactly what we need in Harrisburg.
Hold on a sec. This is this thing that Republicans around here do. Harrisburg. The legislature in Harrisburg has been in Republican hands for more than 15 or somewhere. We should have looked this up, but we know it's almost 20 years.
For the Senate, I think it's been Republican since like 1995 or something like that.
It's certainly been for the last several sessions. In fact, going all the way back, I know, to 2010-11, because that's when the gerrymandering started happening. So this idea that, like, if he's going to fix the problem in Harrisburg, it's his own party and his own, you know, his own ideology that's the problem, not the other side. Keep going.
But haven't you heard that Governor Wolf is an extreme socialist?
I haven't heard. Is he?
Well, that's...
How do I get an extreme socialist label? Is that like a badge I earn?
Yeah. You have to have 15 experience points to get that.
Damn.
Let me just say, I've known some extreme socialists, and Governor Wolf is not one. And that extreme socialist thing is from David's radio ad.
Oh.
Yeah. So, as the saying goes, it's always easy to spend someone else's money. David rejects a, quote, tax and spend methodology... which has unfortunately been used more liberally by some government officials.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah,
What is it that government literally does? It literally raises revenue through taxes and spends it.
Yeah.
That is the definition.
You know, Jordy, I do have to say, though, that I also, when it comes to making toast,
yeah.
I reject a bread and butter methodology for making toast. I also reject a beer before liquor methodology when it comes to drinking.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just so funny because it's just this sort of, you know, point blank trying to deny something. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, it would be foolish to take this literally and logically, because what's the opposite of this? That you don't tax and you don't spend? I mean, this is, you know, running for government, you don't believe in government. It's like saying, you know, I believe in a... You know, I believe in a no condom.
And then tax for it.
Yeah, spend it and then right.
That's actually kind of the current Republican policy.
Yeah.
Spend on the deficit.
That's right. Or what was the one we had earlier? It's like it's a birth control approach of, you know, common no condom approach to birth control.
It's a
now, condom later.
Underwear then pants methodology to dressing oneself.
It's just so, you know, David Rowe, you can see throughout this in his campaign, he has so little experience. And I was thinking about this. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 28, I think, and ran for Congress, won, and you see her, and I know some people on the right, you know, think she's the
devil incarnate,
something like that, but she's so smart, and she understands so much about government and policy and messaging. You know, and David's like, he's like the T-ball version of that. He's just, you know, it's like he read some Fox News stuff or listened to it, and he's just regurgitating it. You know, the other day, you know, he was talking about how in the paper he wants to, you know, to deal with broadband. You know, maybe we could use the Trump tax cut. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything. The Trump tax cut doesn't generate. It's federal. You know, it's like he doesn't even know what level office he's running for.
David has a no-nonsense approach to problems and issues.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pretty no-nonsense approach, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I like to understand what the problem is, you know. And so, like, the problem with opioids, like we were talking about, is access. It's the black markets. It's lack of access to healthcare. That, you know, that's an approach to problems. It's like, I believe in a facts-then-opinions methodology to understanding the world, not opinions-then-facts.
Yeah. Yeah, no-nonsense. David is refreshingly direct and to the point while never condescending or abrasive. I'll leave that.
Sure.
His resourcefulness and enthusiasm, two traits which have served him well as he has traveled and worked in another country, are valuable qualities to have as a state representative. I'm confident that he will be a strong advocate for Union and Snyder counties in Harrisburg. Wait, stop. So something that's really bothered me, and this is not directly with something that Char has said here, but if you go on David's website, one of the things that he says, his news releases, is like, we have to keep Union and Snyder counties in Republican hands. It's just like,
oh, like there's dominion and ownership.
Yeah, and it's just like, I think that David Rowe believes he's going to represent Republican interests.
Mm.
And he keeps saying this, I'm going to represent the values.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a little bit like an erasure of of all of the Democrats and other people.
And independents.
And independents and extreme socialists. And, you know, it's just like, well, if you truly want to represent us.
Right.
And Fred Keller did this actually to a little bit. I mean, he did work with the Moms Demand Action Group for gun control.
Yep.
Like, you have to acknowledge that this isn't a completely Republican. It's not like 99% Republican district.
Yeah.
You know, if you're truly going to represent Union and Snyder counties in Harrisburg, you're going to sit down with the Democrats, you're going to sit down with the Republicans, and listen to everybody. But I don't get the sense that he's going to do that.
You know, this reminds me of a little bit. I agree with what you're saying. And the other piece is, you know, I remember when Clinton won the presidency, and then again, honestly, when Obama did. But it's just, there's been this sense ever since Reagan, right, that I feel like at the national level especially, and since David seems to mostly pay attention to that, you know, Republicans have this idea that the White House and the country, like, belong to them. And, I, you know, maybe Democrats would say this in a Philly race or something, but it's just that language of, like, keep it in our hands, you know, this sense of entitlement and ownership.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not accurate. I mean, I've heard people saying, and I understand why they're like, oh, you know, this person's running for Fred Keller's seat. And, gently, I've been like, it's not Keller's seat. It's our seat.
Yeah.
It's the
exactly.
people's seat.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't ever in Republican hands.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
It's impossible to keep it in Republican hands because it's always in the people's hands.
Right.
In short, David is a conservative Republican who believes in low taxes and small government. Did you know that? He shares my feelings and frustrations about the glut of overhead and wasting government.
You know, they always say this and they never point to anything.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about glut and overhead. East Buffalo has decided to pay a town manager who does not live here $80-some thousand. This was their former town manager. You know, it's not my district, but if I were, you know, if that's his idea of fiscal responsibility, you know, to risk a very expensive lawsuit with Lewisburg over a small matter that could have been negotiated, and then to hire people. I mean, it's like, you know, hiring consultants, you know, in Washington,
yeah.
You hire these expensive consultants, you know, because I don't know why, they're your friends or whatever.
He believes in personal accountability and doesn't expect someone else to care of him. To take care of him. David will provide his...
Wait, hold on a sec. See, this is the value difference it comes to. And it's this idea that, you know, somehow government is protecting some of us from them who want to get stuff. I mean, it is, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And I feel like what we need, and you can disagree, you know, about sort of, you know, liberal conservative around like how you implement it. But more generally, shouldn't we want a society where we balance, of course, personal accountability, but also with the understanding that we have a common destiny?
Yeah, no, I mean, we all do better when we all do better.
Right.
I mean, like, we're, you know, and I know that David did not go to a public school, but, you know, this is like, to me, the core of like a public education, a public road system, you know, all, you know, a public fire and police department.
Oh yeah,
I believe in a
siren and water methodology to fighting
to fires. No, I don't believe.
I have some questions about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be just one of those, you know, extinguisher and fire hose firemen.
But I mean, I do think that to a certain extent, and you know, I'm not obviously not for the nanny state, but you know. Part of having public goods is to ensure that everybody has sort of a basic level of support,
right.
You know,
right.
and can go from there, you know.
Yeah.
Not everybody's handed the same things at birth, you
yeah.
know. So these sort of things level the playing field. David will provide his, quote, back to basics philosophy that we need. Everyone's going to get a hatchet. And some
be just
lighters
like the Frontier Days.
And a copy of The Road to Serfdom by Friedrich Hayek. And that's it, folks. We're back to the basics.
We're back to the basics.
Maybe if we're generous, SNAP will become just some tomato seeds that everyone gets.
Right, right.
Back to the basics here.
Right. Folks. You know, let's get rid of computers in government. Let's go back to basics.
Yeah.
Abacai and papyrus. I don't know, you know, there's great stuff about the past, but it's...
You know what? Everybody in high school is going to get 4 clay tablets and damn it, that's enough.
That's right. You know,
we're going back to the basics here.
It's this, you know, make America great again. I'm like, who said it wasn't? Like, what happened to our best days are in front of us?
Yeah.
All right.
Can one
wrapped?
Person really effectuate change? Maybe. Maybe not. But regardless of whether even that... Yeah. But regardless, I want someone who representing me, who shares my values and beliefs, that at least gives us a fighting chance of tackling some of the tougher problems we face in Harrisburg. You know, Jordy, this place... Does it matter? Doesn't it? I don't even know. But either way, we need to choose David Brown.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Is that a wrap?
Yes. I think so.
We did a lot of today.
Oh, yeah.
Got our summer squall out.
Thanks to Amami for providing for
Providing? I think you provided for me. For making.
Listen, I don't want to take care of anybody.
Sorry.